Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Best Fiends. Download Best Fiends free today on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R, Best Fiends. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, urban legends, cautionary tales passed down from generation to generation. But are they ever more than just a legend? Could some of them be real? That's what we find out today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. We'd love to hear it. Of course, you can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you want to keep our show on the air, support it. Become an extra podcast person. An EPP is what we call that. You sign up to become one at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories, whatever platform you prefer. If you're already using Patreon and supporting other podcasters and such out there, just look us up and you can support us as well. And in exchange, get yourself hooked up with exclusive EPP bonus episodes, new ones every single week, access to our archive of more than 300 of them. You get advanced episodes of the show, all ad-free, and a whole bunch of other extras as well. You can also get 1 month free of being an EPP if you sign up for that annual membership. You can do that at both Ghost Podcast and at patreon.com/realghoststories as well now, which is kind of nice. Get the free month. If you're already planning on doing a year, you might as well jump on in and do that. Tony and Jenny joining you on today's episode.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
I am. I'm doing well. It's another day here in farmland paradise, and interesting finds this week around the farm that could be remotely paranormal. Jenny, go ahead.
Anything? Kind of a neat rock that looked like it had been, you know, hollowed out in the middle, like you would use to grind things in.
Yeah.
You?
That was what I was only thinking of.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
That's all I got. But no, I mean, it was interesting. I think I put a picture of it. I don't know if I did put a picture of it up. I forget who I've said anything to anymore during COVID because it's all virtual. I don't remember if it was a Marco Polo to my parents showing them the rock or if I posted a picture of the rock on social media. I will post a picture of the rock on social media probably by the time this thing airs. But it was interesting. I love finding things. Actually, you found it, but I love seeing things like that. And finding things like that too, if I'm the one who found it, but whoever finds it doesn't make a difference. It's just neat. Cause it's like, well, this is just kind of awkwardly strange and you never really know. The other day on the program, and I think in a couple episodes I've talked about this, and you've talked about it too. We kind of had that weird, it would be paranormal. It wasn't ghostly, but it was a paranormal experience with a picture that you had about the Battle of Prairie Grove, which is the battle that took place just miles from where our studio is now. And you probably heard that on the episode a couple days ago or a couple weeks ago and went, wow, that's really creepy. It's kind of one of those, I don't, you know, everything happens for a reason type thing. There is a new chapter in the story, and yes. And we'll get to it a little bit later on in the show. But it doesn't end, and it just this new chapter began yesterday. Mm-hmm. And the story of the picture that I've always heard the term manifest destiny. Is that what that is, or
you're just saying meant to be?
Meant to be, mm-hmm. You know, where it's like this just happens to be pointing at something.
Yeah.
It's cool. If you want to hear it, stick around. It's coming up here in just a little bit on Real Ghost Stories Online. Again, the phone number 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us. We would love to hear it. Let's go to our first letter of the day. It said, I was 16 and our town newspaper put out an article for Halloween about local lore and haunts. So being someone who's been followed by the paranormal since the age of six, I thought it would be fun to try to pick one of these stories out to investigate with my two best friends. We found a story about an Indian burial ground called Suicide Knob by the locals on the other side of the local creek that ran through the backside of our town that was connected to a closed down an elementary school. So we all agreed that the best one would be to check out. Our original idea was to go on Halloween night, but that fell through due to different plans. So we ended up going 2 weeks later on November 13th. We got our ghost hunter kit ready in my dad's old Coleman lunchbox he used working at the mill, complete with three flashlights, two digital cameras, beef jerky, and a Bible. It was dusk when we made our way on our bikes down to the creek, which was roughly a mile from where I lived. The black and recently set sun, orange sky, and autumn breeze set the tone for the evening with a chill that ran through the three of us. We arrived at the entrance to the trail leading to the supposed burial ground. Our path is carved by the tracks other teenagers riding four-wheelers and dirt bikes over the years, so we continued through the woods until we came to where we were supposed to cross the creek to get to the area where the burial ground was said to be. Discovered that the creek was flooded, so we couldn't cross. Disappointed, we all agreed since we were this far into the trails, we might as well continue on this site to a clearing and take pictures to say at least we were here and tried to find Suicide Knob Indian Burial Ground. So we get to the clearing, take a few pics of the woods around us, and then make our way back. My buddies and I marching in a single file with myself in the back, my one friend in the middle, and my other friend in front, roughly 6 feet apart from one another. When my friend in the front turns around and yells, "Who pushed me?" We were all far enough apart, it wasn't either of us who did, which at that point, we all three turned around and flashed a picture just to see if we could catch anything that had shoved our friend. He shook it off and we continued to make our way out of the woods. When we get to a clearing at the exit that led to a cornfield behind an old Baptist church, all of a sudden we hear this god-awful howling. Not like the stereotypical werewolf on TV howling, but like something being murdered howled. Terrified, I pulled out my Bible and began to read out of the book of Psalms, the 23rd chapter to be exact, and the howling stopped. Shaken by the events, we huddled and tried to make sense of any of this that we could not. We got on our bikes and returned to my house, where we connected the digital cameras to my computer to collect our evidence. Well, the woods pictures were uneventful, to say the least, until we got to the picture we took when our friend was shoved by someone or something. There was a red swoosh across the picture. At the first, we thought nothing of it other than flashlights messing with the camera flash until we zoomed in and were able to make out a mangled-looking face that did not look human. Again, we were sort of shaken, but nothing crazy because we thought maybe our eyes were playing tricks on us. After a few hours, we all decided to turn in for the night, and that's when things amped up. Our friend who had been shoved woke us both at 3:20 a.m. exactly, terrified, saying something was in the corner of my room staring at us. My house had central air, but yet my room was the only room below freezing when every other room was 72 degrees warm. We immediately woke up my mom and explained to her what had happened and with her dealing with the same paranormal things as I had dealt with. So she called my aunt, who was a pastor at the time, and relayed the same information, and my aunt came over around an hour after. She prayed over and saged the house after she was done. The cold in my room was now gone. The feeling of someone watching you was gone. It all felt right, or at least, I thought. A few nights after that, I'd wake in the middle of the night hearing scratches as my bedroom window, hearing whispers in my ear to come back to the woods. That went on for months and months until I left home at the age of 17. I've never been able to explain what happened, but my curiosity was never quenched as I'm 33 and still a paranormal investigator to this day.
I think even though you went there with just the intent to have fun, whatever was there didn't like your intent to seek it out and decided to scare you instead.
I think that happens quite often where, you know, we're just coming to, you know, in peace or whatever. It's It's like, that's great. I'm here. Thanks for coming in my house.
Yeah.
You know, is kind of, I think, how some ghosts think of it. And I think sometimes too, you know, especially when it becomes like legend spots, or I think even we're starting to see this in some cases with locations that are literally set up for paranormal investigations, people who buy haunted houses. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with this, because in many cases, their move and in paranormal tourism, which is really what it is, you know, it is preserving a ton of structures that otherwise would not be preserved, which I think is awesome. Mm-hmm. But I think there's also consequences to it with the type of reactions you may get on those haunts and those ghost hunts too, as opposed to what, you know, may have originally, you know, been the reaction the first handful of times somebody periodically goes into the place when they're booked every weekend. If I were a ghost, I'd be getting a little used to that.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes you want to come out more. I think it really probably depends on the haunting. I think in some cases there gets to be almost an understanding of, oh, okay, this is what we're doing here, and you guys want to see me, and you may get more activity. And some places actually seem to work out that way. I think in other cases too, it's almost like I'm not your freak show.
Yeah.
And I think it just, as a human, would have different attitudes towards, you know, here's what we're going to do type plans. I think so would ghosts. Some may be completely keen to the idea of, hey, yeah, let's show ourselves. Let's work on both sides at this and try and help each other out. Others just want to be left alone. They have no interest in, like, you'll figure it out too when you're dead.
You know? Right, right.
But
they maybe didn't want to be bothered in life, and you know, now that they're dead, they're like, I'm not on display.
Exactly. So I think it all just really kind of varies from situation to situation. Back to the ghost stories in just a second. First, I need to thank our supporter today, the app, the game that I love, Best Fiends. So when you need a break from whatever it is you're doing, I need breaks from what I'm doing. I need breaks from talking about serial killers and ghosts and everything. And when I take my little break, I pull out Best Fiends, the app on my iPhone. I absolutely love it. You can get it on Apple iPhones or Android through Google Play. It's awesome. I've always called it my mental palate cleanser. But it challenges you at the same time. It's not just completely mindless or anything like that. It really is challenging, and it's so much fun. I mean, just when you kind of get to the end of the level and you're about to beat it, you're like, I'm there. I'm almost there. I'm on. Then boom, you are there. It is satisfying. It really, truly is. My daughter's into it now as well. Best Fiends is the infamously impossible to put down puzzle game with over 100 million downloads and counting. It's free to download and has literally millions of 5-star reviews on the Apple App Store and Google Play. There's more levels, events, and challenges added all the time. So play away. There's always another level. Seriously, once you download Best Fiends, boredom, it ain't got a chance. You're going to love it. If you love a good challenge, you're going to love Best Fiends. There's over 5,000 of those challenges just waiting for you. With more levels, events, and challenges added all the time, means you don't have to choose between binging or boredom. In fact, you might find yourself wondering how you ever found time to be bored at all. Check it out for yourself. Download Best Fiends free today on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R. Best Fiends. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Next story says, this story happened about 10 years ago. I was working as a product coordinator at a popular denim company and had several department chain stores on my weekly visit rotation. I've been sensitive to spiritual energies my whole life, but never left anything off or supernatural in this store. It isn't until I started spending a lot of time there. Most of my work visits there were during normal business hours. I must have been visiting there around 3 weeks before I got my first psychic hit. So for me, when there's a strong spirit nearby, my seventh chakra, the top of my head, will start tingling. I noticed the tingling would happen in tandem with the lights blinking in the store. So I started asking the employees if the lights flickering was an ongoing issue, because I hadn't noticed it the first few weeks I'd been visiting there for work, nor whenever I had stopped there or shopped there in the past. Albeit, I rarely shop there. Turns out the store had been experiencing electrical issues for years, and although several electricians had been called in, none of them could find any shortage or any other issue with the system. So, there was no earthly explanation for the lights randomly flicking off. Now, I usually try to keep my psychic gifts separate from my muggle job, and while I'm not always successful, this situation had me too curious, and I wanted to know who was doing it. So, it was time to tap in. When doing so, I immediately got the impression that the flickering lights are being caused by an old loss prevention employee. He would cause the lights to flicker over areas where he saw suspicious activity. Well, this psychic hit, of course, ignited the desire to get verbal confirmation if my impression could be validated by an employee. So I started asking around to find out if anyone knew of a former LP employee that may have died. While I did not find anyone to validate that, I did learn that some employees had heard phantom phones ringing in a back room area where the loss prevention office used to be. By the way, no, they did not care if they thought I was weird for asking. Feeling confident that I had received my validation, I did not give it a more thought. Just doing my job, or he was just doing his job, and that was that. Well, apparently, even in death, this loss prevention officer did not care to have his presence known. A few weeks after learning about the phantom phone ringing, I was upstairs in the store's back stock area alone, and yes, it was creepy. All the clothing soaking up any sound caused it to be kind of dead silence. So I decided to hustle my bustle out of the area when I glanced up to the fire alarm and psychic hearing hears a male laughter. I can't even get the words out. Don't you dare. When the fire alarm starts blaring, let me say the clothing provided no aid to mute that awful sound. I murmur, "Stop being a dick," as I shove my fingers in my ears, head down the stairs, figure I have another cool ghost story to share with my friends and family. I guess that did not sit well with my new loss prevention friend. About 4 to 5 weeks later, I needed to go into the store after normal business hours. There had been some minor construction set up in a new denim shop. So, yeah, they do not turn all the lights on before normal business hours, which, of course, makes the whole store spooky. Not scary or creepy spooky, only normal cool spooky. You know, the kind of spooky that gets ghosts eager to cause small bits of mayhem. So I'm standing in the junior's area folding denim, my back open to an empty space as a wall had recently been removed to open the shop. I suddenly became very chilly and did not really have time to process what it was getting cold with when someone blows on the back of my neck. I had my hair up in a ponytail, so the breath occurred directly on my neck. It was strong, strong enough to move my baby neck hairs astray. And so close that I thought someone was standing directly behind me. And before you or Jenny ask, not the AC was on. Quickly grabbed a pair of jeans I'd been folding and turned, swinging the folded denim in my hand to smack whoever was behind me. See, a few minutes prior to this event, I'd seen an employee that I was acquainted with. Our husbands were friends and we'd become friendly enough to joke around with each other. No one was there. That dead bastard totally snuck up on me. After I gathered my wits back up, I let him know I would not let him frighten me, and he pretty much left me alone after that, which made me a little sad because who does not want a ghost for a friend? I hope everybody enjoyed the little story. I have to say I caught myself adding commas to places. I could hear your cadence to pause. Keep up the good work, and I'm glad you all got to move out of your shitty neighborhood. Jennifer.
So I wonder why the strong urge to identify the ghost as a loss prevention officer was there. I wonder if that was one of those, as we say on the show, downloads of information.
Mm-hmm.
Like she was just given that little token, that little nugget of info of that's who it is. But it's interesting that she identified it as that and not just another retail employee or manager or anybody else.
That would be my guess, that it's just, you know, somehow this information is just there and you just know that that's what it is. And I don't know how that feels because I've never had that happen. But you've had situations where you're like, it's a woman. Have you ever gotten down to like, it's a woman or it's a man and here's their job? Or is
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, the first time you and I went to Mackinac together on our 5th anniversary.
Yeah.
We stayed in an old inn, and I could feel that there was a presence there, and I could feel it was a female, but I also could feel that she loved the place and had like a caretaker kind of feel.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, we learn the story of the maid who committed suicide in the orchard mm-hmm. because she was in love with somebody she wasn't supposed to be in love with.
Yep.
So
then we went out to the orchard.
We did go out to the orchard, but
shit, I've been in two haunted orchards in my life.
Yes, you have.
Who would have thought orchards being a haunted?
I don't know, but that was probably the strongest I've ever felt, being able to identify what it was.
Now, being the fact that we were on Mackinac Island and there's not exactly like a Best Western on the island to like flee to, and there's when you're on Mackinac Island, you're for the most part, you're staying where you're staying and you've probably pre-booked it prior. It's not like a get on the island in most cases and find vacancies. Could you here and there? Probably, maybe, I don't know. In busy season, no. But there was nowhere else to go and we had planned staying there. I'm just amazed that you wanted to continue staying at the hotel. I mean, it was a great hotel. It was really nice yeah. and great. I didn't feel anything threatening or anything there. And I know you didn't either. But the fact that it was haunted, you not enjoying the idea of staying at a haunted hotel. How did this happen? How did we get to stay there?
Well, we didn't know it was haunted. We knew not much about the inn other yeah. than it was kind of removed. We wanted to not be right there on Main Street.
But once you knew it was haunted, and you knew pretty soon, like even before we went to sleep there the first night.
Yes.
How did you not like somehow coerce me we're going to go back to land and stay at the La Quinta?
Because I did not feel that she had any negative intention towards us.
Okay.
And I didn't feel unsafe. I didn't yeah. feel like she had any negative intention at all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think the only person she ever harmed probably was herself.
Yeah. Well, good. So yeah. we can go stay at places where the ghosts are good? Is that?
If I can tell, okay. yes. Same with the Grand Hotel. I yeah. never got a bad feeling from anything I felt there, but.
They don't like talking about their ghosts, but.
I'm sorry.
No, we can talk about it all we okay. want, but.
I never got a bad feeling from anything there.
Yeah. I haven't either. It seems things that are in a lot of those places are there, you know, because they want to be. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of stories of that island and where you're more lucky to not find bones than find bones if you're digging. Did I say that right?
Well, you're never lucky to find bones.
Not lucky, but
Your odds of finding bones when you dig for a structure
are greater mm-hmm. than not finding bones.
Yeah.
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 And that would be the Native Americans who would use the island prior to it becoming a tourist attraction spot for burying their dead.
Right.
And now it's a big tourist attraction spot. But I don't know. I don't. You know, you hear the stories, and I think a lot of the things get overblown quite often when it comes to you get into the world of Native American burial things and immediately people jump to negative, 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 negative. I don't know that it's always negative, you know, yeah. just like shadow people aren't always negative. But you hear a lot of ghost stories on that island. That island is filled with ghost stories, but a lot of them are really not too negative.
Right. I haven't heard of, I mean, even when we took the ghost tour with the expert on the yeah. island, he really didn't have any that were, you know, yeah. dark.
I mean, there's some, but I know they're not real stories. Mm-hmm. I mean, where like it talked about like witches being drowned in a pond, like that's not factually even that didn't happen.
Yeah.
But the ones that you can do some fact checking on, or at least the names match up in times and story, and this logically could have happened. You don't really get a whole lot of super negative. Mm-mm. You know, I know that there's some scariness that there is one area I know that there people have been freaked out by down at the Point.
Yeah, I don't like that one,
but I like that hotel.
I know you do, but
Mission Point,
we won't yeah. stay there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting place to visit nonetheless. Okay, so ghost stories, continuing on with Jenny's paranormal experience. Give the quick recap for anybody who missed the other episode. 30-second version of
okay, 30-second version. When I was about 23, which was a long time ago, I bought a picture, and I didn't know why I had to have this picture, but it was a Civil War battle, and it reminded me somewhat of one that my grandmother had, but it also looked like I really liked it for hanging in my dining room, which is kind of gross and gory, but I really, really wanted this picture.
Yeah.
And it was more than I should have spent, and I bought it anyway, and I had it for a long time, and then went through a divorce and ended up selling it.
Mm-hmm.
Hadn't given it another thought until I started doing some research on our battlefield here, and the same image came up.
You realized that you had bought the picture that represented one of the most famous pictures representing the battle here.
Of Prairie Grove.
Of Prairie Grove, all those years ago, before you even had ever set foot in this area or even knew about this area.
Right.
You had gotten the picture more so, it kind of reminded you of the one your grandma had. It was a Civil War type battle picture.
Well,
but it could have been almost anywhere for that point.
Yeah, and I've always been fascinated with Civil War history, but yeah. Also it just, I knew I didn't need to spend the money that they were asking for it. And I asked, you know, can I pay less for this and everything? And I ended up bringing it home, and I just couldn't leave it.
Which is odd because, you know, if you know Jen, she's not like gory Civil War decor.
No, I'm not. Nor am I one of those people that like, oh, I see this, I have to have it.
Yeah.
Kinda, you know, it's like, well, does it make sense? Can I afford it?
Yeah.
Yes or no? Do I, you know, I'm a lot
pointed to no in there.
Yeah. And I'm more of a logical shopper mm-hmm. than that. That was a very odd experience for me.
So you got it. And then over time, after the divorce, it's just kind of lost in, you know, all that. So we realized that a couple weeks ago, this is the photo or the picture that represents the battle that we're interested in now because it's right what happened right down the road.
Yes.
And if you follow me on Facebook or Instagram or anything, I've posted many pictures from this battlefield because we walk around there all the time and take pictures. It's a great park now. So we thought the story's done. You know, the photo's lost. Maybe we'll find a print of it somewhere online and, you know, order it.
And I'd even looked and couldn't find anything. Yeah. I was going to contact the local museum to see if they had any, but I hadn't even done that yet.
Yeah. And then?
And I got a call from my mom this weekend. My mom lives in Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
She had been out antiquing, and she was actually in the same antique mall where I originally bought it. And guess what was there? My picture was there, framed, matted, everything exactly. It's the same picture.
It somehow managed after it left your possession going somewhere, and then now it's back in the antique mall.
Yes.
So
I made her buy it, and I Venmo'd her the money, and so I'm going to get it back soon, and it's going to live here with me where it's supposed to be because the owner of the antique mall said it's very odd because she figured that picture would hang for a long time because it had only been in there 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So about the time we made this discovery, that picture ended up going showing back to up. That antique mall, the same antique mall.
You wonder if somebody had it and they heard our show and they're like, I got to get rid of this picture because this is too weird.
I don't know about that. I think it was just meant. It's just meant to.
Yeah.
It's just meant to come home. Yeah.
So where are you going to put it?
Don't know yet. Okay. I don't even have a spot for it, but there will be a spot for it.
In our Civil War room?
No, we don't have themed rooms like that. But I can't not have it with the story that goes with it.
No, that, I mean, it's amazing that 360 on it has happened. I thought we were going to be left at, 180 and great story there even.
Right.
But now add it like, oh my God, this is the one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like, wow, go figure. Was your mom aware of the whole story up until that point?
Well, she was with me when I bought it originally.
I know, but had she been filled in on the weirdness of you realizing that we are mm-hmm. here now. Okay.
Because
okay.
I told her, I said, you know, you remember that picture from my dining room? I didn't know it until just a few minutes ago, but that was actually the battle here. Mm-hmm. That was this one, you know, in this little tiny town in Arkansas. Yeah. And I had no idea until, you know, I started Googling that battle, and that was one of the images that came up. So she's like, oh, that's so weird, you know. And then she saw it. She's like, that's it. I remember when you bought it before, and she knew, you know, because she had seen it for years mm-hmm. hanging in my dining room. So she got it, and I paid her back, and it's coming.
That's, yeah, that's pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. So the saga, I think that's the end of this Prairie Grove story.
I hope nothing comes out of the picture, literally. I hope nothing happens with the picture that, yeah. you know, that there's not something attached to the picture that wants to be here. We'll see. You guys know it's not normal for me to do that, but I had to do that. I had to buy that picture back.
It's a warning sign of future battles that will be happening at the site of Prairie Grove.
I now. Literally don't even have any wall space for it, but it's going to be hung somewhere.
We'll find a place. You want to put it in the office? Being such a paranormal type.
Yeah.
It's your picture, so I don't want to like say put it in my office.
Well,
or in the studio here.
You have more wall space in the studio. I would love to put it like right there where I can see it from where I sit.
I'm cool with that.
Then let's do that.
If you want to put it in the studio, I think it would fit what we do. Mm-hmm. And it is kind of an interesting 360. But it's your call. Your photo, put it wherever you want.
But it's not the beginning of like the Warren's Museum, you know. We're not gonna start collecting haunted items. This is just a special.
It's not a haunted item. And these other items aren't haunted either. They're possessed.
Explain it.
They have things attached to them. So we could start, you know, maybe one by one getting little things that have small attachments. And we can build we built a chicken coop this weekend. We could certainly build a small museum in the backyard.
We're not building a museum. We're building a ton of other shit before we ever build a museum.
So a museum is a possibility.
No, it's not.
Once we get enough.
I will find something else to build. Before we build a museum.
So, barn shelters or...
Tree houses. Who knows what else?
Occult museum.
No. No, we're not doing that.
That would be great when you have anybody comes over. Look, there's the chicken run. That's a cute chicken house there. Oh, look where those pigs live. That is such a cute little house you got for them. What's that? What's that building over there? It doesn't quite look like a garden shed. It's next to the garden shed. That's the occult museum.
We will build our own mausoleum here before we'll build an occult museum.
Yeah, and in all reality, I want nothing to do with haunted objects. So, but this to me doesn't feel haunted. It feels more like a sign or an omen of some sort.
No, it's a sign. It's a sign. There's been a lot of really unique, strange coincidences.
Yeah.
You know, did we talk about the owner of the land originally? Mm-hmm. Some maybe being a possible distant relative.
Last name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, there's a lot here that's brought us here.
I don't think the story's over. I don't think the digging is over. I think maybe the part of the picture is over. Maybe now that that's back. But I think as far as you discovering interesting information, I don't think that's over.
No.
So Halloween is coming.
I'm home.
Look for the hands coming out of the ground. See one more call before we wrap it up. Hi, you're on the air.
My mom made me, actually, she made me call you guys, but I'm going to tell you my story anyway. Me and my brother and my husband, we lived in this house with my mom, and in Lake Elsinore. And we were talking about death and ghosts and everything, and my husband proceeded to tell me and my brother a story about his friend Werner that had passed away in his apartment in Orange County before I knew him, before my brother knew him, but he committed suicide. And he had told his friend Werner after they found him dead that anywhere that my husband was, he was welcome there. So, like, anyway, so, like, the story went along where, like, people didn't poke and prodded on, at his funeral, but what really got me and my brother is that we were talking about Werner one night in this old house, and it was only me, my brother, and my husband, and there's a fire going, so we had a fireplace, and in the middle of the room, there's this long wooden coffee table, and in the, right in the middle of it was this big, thick book. I forget which book it was or whatever, and we started talking about Werner and ghosts and if, you know, we believed in them or not, and me and my brother and my husband were sitting there, and we were nowhere around the book, so the book slides off the coffee table and it stands straight up, and my brother's looking at me and he's looking at my husband and he wants to jump in between. He's going, oh my god, that scared the crap out of me. And it was just really weird how that we were talking about Werner at the time that he appeared, I think, and showed that, yeah, there is life after death. I don't know how much to explain it, but my brother was really freaked out about it. And I kind of am too. But anyway, that's my story. It was pretty short, kind of boring, but there it is. Bye.
I don't think it's boring at all.
No.
I think it's neat. I mean, he's just letting you know he's still there.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that account with us and getting it on the air. That's the thing. I mean, you don't have to feel it's boring. You don't, you know, I think that it's the natural hesitation anyone has when telling ghost stories. It's, don't mind me, I'm telling a ghost story. It's more so meaning, you know, instead of saying, don't judge me, don't judge me, people jump with, oh, this is boring, you don't want to hear about it. You know, it's a defense thing, and I get that.
Yeah.
But you're safe here to share your story and not be viewed as boring. Because even sometimes some of the what you may think of be some of the most smallest, you know, inconspicuous, you know, things in a story, sometimes when we hear those and those details are brought to our attention in a story, sometimes that really totally changes something, and you go, I've never heard that before. Mm-hmm. And that's rare.
Yeah.
It is rare for us to hear that or to say that, but sometimes adding those little details in is really what can change that to go, wow, you can look at it from a whole different light. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air, become an extra podcast person, and EPP, sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. It's only $5 a month, or if you want to get 1 month free, do an annual membership. You can do that in either location now, both patreon.com/realghoststories and ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny and all of us at Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening.